This podcast is part of Mishmash Media. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. Welcome to another episode of Curbcast. My name is Ivan.
And I'm Stephen.
And we are halfway through Curb Your Enthusiasm Season 7. We are up to Episode 5, Denise Handicap. And for those who are new to the podcast, Curbcast is a podcast where we review every episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm in chronological order. And like I said, halfway mark of Season 7. And like I said last week, Steve, not much Seinfeld reunion stuff going on at the moment. I guess they're going to probably load it in the back half.
Yeah, they've dipped out the last few episodes for sure. The first couple had a bit of Seinfeld content. And then which episode was the main one of this season with the Seinfeld content? Was that episode 2?
Oh, that's the reunion, right?
Yes, the reunion. Yeah, and then since then it's just been little to nothing Seinfeld-wise. But yeah, I imagine, like you said, the back half will be pretty Seinfeld-heavy.
It will. But I really enjoyed this episode, unlike last week where it was, I felt it was okay. I think this week was pretty good. Denise Handicap, a very funny episode, very classic Curb, and kind of lots of themes in this one.
Yeah, this felt like classic Curb to me. You know, Larry getting himself into ridiculous situations by just being a jerk, not considering other people's feelings. Yeah, and then it all sort of comes together in a hilarious physical comedy. Smorgasbord at the end. I really enjoyed it too.
Yeah, and Rosie O'Donnell supposedly kicking Larry Davis' ass. Supposedly. Yeah. I guess we can hypothesize when we get to that scene, you know, whether Rosie actually pinned Larry down or Larry, you know, was about to do something. Because he says he was about to do something. So maybe Rosie was going to like choke him out or something.
Yeah. Larry's pretty defensive about his ability to take out or, you know, be taken out by Rosie in this episode. But we'll talk about that a bit more when we get to it.
Indeed. Anyway, there's some ways you can contact us, Steve.
There is. We have an email address, curbcastpod@gmail.com. We're on social media as well. You can check out those links in the show notes. You can support us as well. We've got a Patreon, patreon.com/mishmashmedia. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us out. You do get access to Curbcast a bit earlier than everyone else. And if you want to rate us or review us on your podcast app of choice, that would be fantastic. And if you want to tell a friend or a family member or anyone in your life who likes Curb about us, that would be awesome as well.
Yeah, that's right. Any way you can, showcase the podcast to other people, that would be absolutely amazing. And we hope you enjoy today's episode as well.
That's right. And you just said showcase. That's how I expect anyone who listens to this to tell their friends or family about us. They can't just say, hey, there's this Curb podcast, you should check it out. They need to showcase it. Yeah. It needs to be an event.
You have to do like this big musical number. Hey, so, big spender, here's a podcast about Curb. Two guys from down under talking about Curb every week. You know, if you could do something like that, that'd be incredible. Yeah. You know, the big musical, you know, number at the end and then an encore. That'll help us out.
A line of dancers doing the can. Yeah, it's Yeah. big fireworks, massive stage production.
Yep. Broadway.
Exactly.
Even off Broadway, but we'll take that.
As long as you could call it a showcase, whatever form it takes, as long as it's a showcase.
It's fine. No, you can tell your family and friends however you want it. That's fine. As long as you do.
As long as it's a showcase.
Anyway, let's showcase this episode, eh? Season 7, Episode 5, Denise Handicap. And some of you are probably wondering, hey, isn't it meant to be Denise Handicapped? I'll talk about it in trivia in just a second. Aired in the US for the very first time on HBO, October 18th, 2009. In this episode, Larry embraces the upside of disability when he courts a handicapped woman to take to a recital at a friend's house. But he doesn't return the favor when Susie throws Larry's cell phone in the ocean and Larry loses her phone number in the process. And I did mention just a little bit earlier that a lot of people in the Curb community think that the episode is actually called Denise Handicapped. But according to HBO's website, and we confirm it in the episode as well, the episode is officially called Denise Handicap, and that's the name that Larry gives to Denise on his old cell phone.
Yeah, no capped, just cap.
Yeah, no cap, for real. Isn't that what all the young people say these days? No cap?
No cap. They might. I don't know what the kids say on the TikToks.
I thought I saw somewhere like Gen Z says like no cap. I think no cap's meant to be like truth or something. I don't know.
No cap.
We're too old for this shit.
Basically, yeah. I had one the other day and it made me feel old. Someone I know through work said slay instead of like cool or sweet or whatever. Instead of agreeing with me by saying, you know, sweet or nice or cool or, you know, something that we'd say, they said slay.
Right.
I said, okay. You know, we're doing this.
Oh, like slay queen. Yeah, right.
Yeah, or just, yeah, I think it's just a general positive agreement. You know, hey, we're doing this tomorrow, slay. I had no idea, and that made me feel very old, but that's the way it goes, isn't it?
We'll leave it to the Gen Zers. They can take care of those. Yeah.
The Zoomers.
The Zoomers. That's what they're called. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chi Yun, for those who don't know, and I didn't know actually, I had to Wikipedia it myself. Chi Yun is a Korean violinist. So she is the musician in question in the episode. John and Jamie Fowler, the couple who have Kelsey, the adopted daughter, they're actually a real life couple. The real actors' names are John Ross Bowie and Jamie Denbo. They've been married in real life since 2004. And I guess you can kind of tell, I don't know, they seem to have had that chemistry. When they had their, you know, three or four scenes together where they kind of bickered like a married couple, like really, really well. And they seem to like really like figure out each other. So yeah, apparently this trivia fact confirms it.
Yeah, right. Okay.
No, yeah. I just appreciate how the chemistry between them, like, I don't know, it just felt really real. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And yeah, it turns out that they're married. So they know lots about each other. Yeah. So they know how they tick. Yeah, so there you go. But yeah, Denise Handicap, lots of themes here about disability, political correctness as well. We'll talk about that scene with John and Jamie when they meet Denise for the first time, you know, how they're trying to be polite and, you know, trying to be a bit too overcompensating, you know, but lots of themes like that as well.
Yeah.
In this episode. Very interesting one. Very funny, but very interesting too.
Yeah. A lot of it is still quite relevant. So yeah.
In this modern era. Yeah. And also, Steve, I noticed because Seinfeld is like the main theme for this season, I've noticed a couple of, I guess you could say, very subtle Seinfeld references in the episode. So when we get to them, I'll tell you about them.
Okay.
You'll probably hear it, or you maybe you figured it out and you're like, oh shit, yeah, this is from Seinfeld. It's very, very subtle. And look, it's probably unintentional, but I don't know, us being Seinfeld fans as well, you know,
yeah.
I got my third eye and kind of put two and two together.
Yes.
Anyway, here we go. Scene one of Denise Handicap. Larry is at a coffee house whistling to a song he's listening to in his earphones. A lady nearby asks what he is listening to. He says he's listening to Chi Yun. The lady says that she's a big fan of her, and Larry says that he saw her in concert very recently. He also says that he is seeing them at a private recital at a friend's house, and he invites her for a pre-date before the recital. The woman gives Larry her number and introduces herself as Denise, and she wheels her obscured wheelchair from behind the nearby table and goes to Larry to give her phone number as he looks on in surprise. So we see Denise, and you know, it looks like she's sitting down and the table is a little bit higher than her chair, and yeah, she wheels herself out and it's revealed that she is in a wheelchair, which,
yeah,
you know, would probably surprise a person normally, but it wouldn't. Like, Larry seemed really shocked.
Yeah, I understand being a bit shocked, but I was surprised at how surprised he was.
So you think he should have figured out that she was disabled or?
No.
Or handicapped?
No, I don't think. I mean, like I said, I understand why he'd be a little surprised, but I just thought he was a bit too surprised.
Right, yeah.
I didn't meant anything by it. I guess maybe I would just go, oh, okay, and then that would be it. But, you know, it seemed to hit him more, that's all.
Yeah, no, it did. You can see, like, his mouth is just wide open. He just can't believe it.
Mm.
He's so ignorant, he probably doesn't associate beautiful women with wheelchairs.
Yeah, yeah.
I can imagine Larry thinks that people in wheelchairs are, like, hideous people or deformed people. I don't know. He displays his ignorance here so much. And when we get to those scenes, we'll confirm that. But, yeah, I think it just kind of just shows Larry's ignorance.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I can't agree more. Just ignorance,
yeah. Larry is having coffee later on with Jeff and Rosie O'Donnell. This is her second appearance on the show up until this point. Larry is talking about the semantics of delivering bad news as Rosie goes to take a call and leaves the table. It's a nice little funny conversation between the three of them.
Yeah.
Jeff asks if Larry called Denise, as he says Larry had to because she is handicapped. Larry says that he's started writing the Seinfeld reunion, the only mention of, like, Seinfeld in this episode. As Rosie heads back to the table, Larry begins arguing with her about who will take the bill, and he says that he should do it as he organized lunch. Rosie says that she insists, and it's very rude, that he won't let her pay the bill. The argument escalates as they start wrestling and they both fall on the ground as the scene cuts. Later on, Larry is leaving a Baskin-Robbins eating an ice cream as a couple named John and Jamie with their young child call out to him. They ask if Larry will make it to their Chi Yun recital as they introduce him to their adopted daughter Kelsey, and Larry starts calling her Kelsey Grandma Frasier. I thought you'd probably like that one.
Yeah, I did actually.
He asks if their daughter has a proclivity for chopsticks as she is Chinese. They get offended about what he asked. Larry says to call him if Kelsey begins using chopsticks. And he asks if any of her biological parents could be psychotic as they leave. Larry says that they're walking in the same direction as them, with John uttering the word really in frustration. So Larry showing his ignorance again with, you know, he assumes that Chinese children, even though this Chinese girl is probably like, what, two maybe, she probably has never used chopsticks in their very short life. life, and Larry thinks that all Chinese people have a, you know, fixation for chopsticks. Very ignorant and very mildly racist too.
Yeah, a bit on the nose of Larry. I think he thinks that usage or preference for chopsticks is genetic, whereas obviously it's a cultural, you know, it's learned through shared culture. I don't think if you're not brought up around chopsticks, I don't think you would just spontaneously have a predisposition to using chopsticks. But yeah, it's just Larry relying on stereotypes and not understanding, you know, how sort of culture works, I guess.
I like how he says that he'll do like a study where he'll get an American kid and then he'll get a Chinese kid and he'll see which one uses chopsticks first.
Yeah, so dumb.
God.
Larry.
So cringe. Yeah, I know. It's fucking hilarious.
Like, yeah, it is funny, but it's also like, Larry.
Yeah, yeah, he's really showcasing his ignorance, like I said.
Yeah.
Later that evening, Larry is wheeling Denise to the restaurant as they spot a large set of stairs and no disability ramp. Larry wonders how they will get in. They're wondering why there's no ramp. Larry says he's starving as Denise suggests going somewhere else. He says by the time we bundle her into the car and drive somewhere, it'll take another hour. Probably LA, I'd imagine, you know, everywhere's like 20, 30 minutes minimum. Would make sense. She reluctantly accepts Larry's offer to carry her up the stairs. He lifts her and struggles to go up the stairs as he's like yelling expletives and all that kind of stuff. They eventually make it up the stairs. He wonders where he's going to put her on the ground because there's no benches or seats or anything like that at the front. And they both look down to the wheelchair, which is back down the stairs. So Larry carrying Denise upstairs, Steve, it would appear to be like a selfless act, but in a way it was more like a selfish act because Larry didn't want to do a 1 hour trip just to go to another restaurant. So he was actually doing something selfless and being selfish.
Yeah, I guess it was both at the same time. You know, it helped her out, but it was for his, you know, for what he wanted. So, I mean, that's pretty typical of Larry. You know, he never just, you know, there's never any true altruism where he just helps someone without like an expectation of a return or, you know, if it somehow benefits him. You know, he's a bit opportunistic with when and how he helps people, for sure.
Yeah, he does. I like how he just put his back at risk just so he didn't have to, like, I don't know, he didn't have to do the drive for an hour. It was just, yeah, it's just fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Larry, you know, Larry as well often thinks of, you know, the path of least resistance.
You got to hand it to Larry, you know, carrying a full-grown lady like that up the stairs. It's pretty good for his age, very spry.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's got that kind of like wiry, skinny old man strength.
Skinny old, kind of like Mandelbaum in Seinfeld.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't think he'd crack his back, though. I mean, you know, he lifted something heavier than Mandelbaum, but I guess he's younger as well. Like, Mandelbaum's like 80 or 85.
Yeah, probably 80, 90, yeah.
Late 50s, early 60s, I guess.
At the time, yeah. At the time of this episode, yeah. So.
Yeah, not quite as decrepit.
Not quite. Still very, very funny physical comedy, just Larry like carrying her up the stairs. And they both look down and they see the wheelchair and the wheelchair is in like the camera shot.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, shit. Oops. Didn't factor that into the equation.
Yikes.
Yikes. They're sitting down for dinner as Larry is complaining about his radiating back pain going down into his leg. He wonders how he will play golf tomorrow. Larry begins talking about how he never walks on a golf course. He hates walking on the golf course. He always gets a cart. He says at first, like, I always get a cart. I don't, you know, I always walk. I don't get a cart. But then Denise says, but don't you say that you can get a cart? And then Larry's like, oh, yeah, that's what I said. So he's just like saying like two different things, contradicting himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can tell by this point, like it's implied later on in the scene, but you can kind of tell that Denise is a bit funny about Larry. Like you can see like her body language is a little bit standoffish about her, standoffish to him.
Yeah, I think she seems a bit dubious of his intentions and whether he has an agenda or like, yeah, he's giving off sus vibes and she's sus on him.
I don't know. It's just like even Larry mentions that. Larry says that when he went to pick her up, he noticed a negative vibe from Denise and she admits that she was shocked that Larry was bald after he wore a hat in a cafe and yeah, she was she kind of like Larry, she kind of felt shortchanged.
Yeah, I think so.
And this is another Seinfeld reference. It reminds me of that episode, I forgot which one, but it's the one where George dates a woman and the woman's wearing a hat and then he finds out that the woman's bald.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Elaine calls him out on it. It's like, you're bald. Why are you upset about someone who's born like you? Yeah, this is one of my very subtle Seinfeld references. Yeah, it's just like, you know, finding out that someone was bald and then not wanting to be with them because they're bald. I don't know. Whether it was intentional or not, I don't know, but that was just my eagle eye picked it up.
Yeah, no, I didn't, but that I think you're onto something there. And yeah, just critical.
Yeah, Larry was shortchanged and so was Denise. Denise suggests hair plugs for Larry to fix his baldness as Larry looks at her in bewilderment, as he didn't realize that she is a quote-unquote wheelie. Have you ever heard that term for someone in a wheelchair, a wheelie? I can't say I have.
Wheelie, No. I don't think I've ever heard any sort of slang or abbreviation for anyone in a wheelchair. It's usually just a person in a wheelchair or, you know, handicapped or disabled, or but never any kind of slang.
I've heard of roller before, like, roller. But that's a cool name though. You're a roller.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You're rolling. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Actually, I have heard that one before. But that would be about it.
Larry drops Denise home as she invites him in. Larry looks puzzled and he declines the offer. She wonders if it's because she's handicapped he won't come in. Larry looks at her for a few seconds and then changes his mind and comes in.
Would you like to come in?
I should probably get going.
Right. Because I'm handicapped?
What? No, of course not. What are you saying that for?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then why?
Okay, I'll come in.
Great.
The scene cuts to Denise and Larry in the living room. She's in her chair. Larry's trying to figure out how to be intimate with Denise as they begin kissing. A montage plays out of them trying to find comfortable positions for them to make out in. He's struggling to hold her while she is in the chair. And there's some really... I like that one where Larry's kind of like 45 degrees on the ground. And then he hits Denise on the breast and then she's like grabs her breast and like, ow. I could imagine they were spending like 45 minutes trying to figure out how to like, you know, make out.
Yeah, I do like a funny, like awkward, in this case, awkward sex montage, but just a montage of awkwardness is always hilarious. But yeah, I imagine there was a lot of time spent trying to figure out the mechanics of how it would work.
Yeah, you don't see too many montages of awkwardness on Curb, so it's quite refreshing.
Yeah, in a way, I mean, it's not awkward, but it just kind of reminded me of the sex montage in Team America. You know,
with the two marionettes.
Yeah, the sex montage in that is, you know, they're having like hot, passionate sex. You know, they're not trying to figure out how to have sex with each other, but just a funny sex montage. I couldn't help but think of that.
I couldn't help you. It's just like bending in all positions, even though, you know, there's no implied penetration. It just looks like they're just in like all these random contorted positions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Team America, that's a movie I've got to watch. I'll probably watch that tonight. It's so good.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that in years.
Probably 10 or 15 years, probably like since it came out or just after that. When was that, like 2005 or 6 or something?
I think so. A bit outdated with like the Kim Jong-il references, but still pretty good.
Definitely fun. Bush era. You know, it's very like, I mean, obviously it came out in the Bush era, but yeah, all of the references are very Bush, you know, post 9/11 Bush era, America specific for sure.
Hyper-patriotism, hyper-military industrial complex, all those themes.
Yeah, you know, when America's... war machine was in full swing.
When they were the world police. Well, they still are to a degree.
Yeah, less so these days, but they still like to make themselves known around the world.
They do. And Australia too, you know, sort of. It's a conversation for another time.
Yeah, no politics, no politics.
No politics. That's our mantra, no politics. Larry says what they're going to do. Denise says, why don't we just go to the bedroom? You know, that was like the best answer the whole time, in my opinion. They head to the bedroom and they're in the hallway. Larry rolls Denise there too fast. Her chair hits the bed frame and she falls face first onto the mattress. The scene cuts to them in bed as Larry is what appears, I think it's implied that he's going down on Denise. She looks very bored. He comes out from under the covers. She says she doesn't feel anything. And Larry says, interesting. One of his catchphrases for season 7. He said that quite a bit this season. I guess not to go into too much detail about, you know, this thing, but why do you think Denise didn't feel anything? Do you think maybe she's still a bit hung up on Larry, or maybe she still has a bit of doubts, or could there be like any physical, like what's your theory on that? I don't think it's like a physical thing. I just think she's just not really into him.
Yeah, I think if it was a physical thing, she wouldn't feel anything with anyone regardless of how she felt about them. It was kind of the interpretation I had was that she was just so turned off, or so not even turned off, but just so not turned on that, you know, there was just, she probably felt something, but there was no pleasurable aspect to it. It was just like, you know, someone, it'd just be like someone like, I don't know, poking you or like just, you know, like rubbing your arm up and down. It's like, I can feel it, but it doesn't give me any pleasure, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like emotion, just like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, it's just a physical sensation, but with no sexual pleasure attached to it at all. It's just, yeah, a physical sensation, and that's it.
Yeah, I feel like it's a combination of everything that went wrong in the night. Like, they turned up to the restaurant, there's no ramp, Larry had to carry her up, and I'm guessing Larry had to, like, put her on the ground while he went to go get a wheelchair or something, which made her uncomfortable. Yep. And then they had that very awkward dinner conversation as well, which, and then, you know, Larry, you know, rebuffing her, you know, when she says, oh, do you want to come in, you know, come into the house or whatever. I think all those things kind of culminated, and she probably thought, oh, this is just a really shit night, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know why I let this guy in. I probably shouldn't have. I think it's just a waste of time. I don't know. I just feel like it's just like a climax, so to speak, for the evening that they had.
Yeah, she's, you know, she's looking sort of, yeah, she definitely has regrets. Bored. Yeah, bored. Just why, like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, basically, like, he didn't want to come in originally. Why did I let him in? I should have just said no.
Yeah.
I should have said, don't worry about it. I'll see you next time, or maybe never again. So.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe she still has, you know, maybe she thinks that there's something about Larry that she enjoys. There's probably, maybe she likes his humor and she's like, oh, look, maybe he seems all right. Maybe I'll give him another try. I don't know. Must be some spark that's there, some ember that's burning in what was the fire. An ember spark left for their very short relationship so far. The next day, Larry receives a voicemail from John telling him not to come to the recital. And I love how Jamie, she's cursing Larry in the background. She's like, he's a fucking asshole. Like, John's like the real calm, you know, he's stuttering, kind of hesitant, like, oh, look, listen, Larry, I don't think you should come, you know. This guy's a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Jamie's like really giving it to Larry in the background.
Kind of reminds me of Susie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, she's not as neurotic as her.
No, just in the way that, you know, she's not mincing her words and she lets her feelings about Larry be known.
Yeah, straight out. Well, he was very highly offensive, so I don't blame her for being upset.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough that she's that bothered.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'd be offended too, but probably not yelling at Larry, but, you know, I'd say how I feel. Definitely. Leon walks over and asks how Larry's date went. He tells Leon about Denise having no reaction in bed because of possibly her physical handicap. And Leon claims that Larry didn't brung it to the bed.
did he bring it, Larry?
And Leon going on one of his, you know, rants about bringing it, and, you know, he says to Larry, you know, you didn't bring it, you know, give me her number, I'll go over and sort her out, and, you know, you should have broke that ass in half, Larry. You should have broke that ass in half and brought the other half home. Just becomes like really, really explicit.
Yeah,
I love how Leon starts going on rants and then he just escalates, and then it's like absurd. You know, the final part of his rant. It's just like, yeah, how can you physically break someone's bum and take one of their cheeks? You know, it's like, how do you do that? Come on, man. You didn't give her you didn't give her the drizzle. Was it the drizzle or the dizzle?
Probably something the dizzle. Like that. Being
short for the dizzle, dizzle, yeah. You didn't give her the dizzle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So he says that Larry didn't brung it to bed, and he asks if Larry did his dizzle on her as they begin to argue. Larry says he doesn't like Denise much anyway, and that he will break up with her face to face, as he says you can't break up with a handicapped person over the phone. Not that I think that matters. I think you can break up with anyone, no matter what their ability. I don't know. Is it just Larry being like too, like he's being a bit too overtly like politically correct or something, or I don't know.
Yeah. He thinks that he's being extra sensitive because, you know, she's got more challenges than, you know, most people, I guess, in terms of physical ability. But, you know, I would assume that she would say, you know, don't treat me any differently. I think he thinks he's being more sensitive, but he's actually just kind of being condescending.
Yeah, he's being an absolutely condescending prick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can still do it. Like, you don't have to, like, break up with them in person. Like, who cares? I mean, she can still communicate. It's not like she's mentally, you know, impaired or anything like that. So, yeah, she's very, very level-headed person.
Yeah, for sure. You know, so, I don't think she would. I don't think she would expect him to go to more effort or be more considerate about how to break up with her just because she's in a wheelchair.
No, I don't think so either. No. It's just Larry, you're right. Larry's just being condescending and he's being very ignorant. I think that's all it is. It just shows that, yeah, I think Larry, this is probably some of the most ignorant he's been in a while on Curb. Yeah. I mean, he typically is bigoted and, you know, selfish and stuff, but, you know, which makes it funny, of course. But no, he displays true ignorance in terms of race and ability as well.
Yeah.
Able-bodiedness, is that what it's called? Ability?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Later that evening, Larry and Denise are in the car. He can't find a car spot. Denise says that she has a disabled sticker and to park in the disabled spot. The scene cuts to them entering the restaurant. Larry says that he has no reservation, as Denise says not to worry about it. The hostess gives them a table despite the long wait as they go over to the table. Other patrons are smiling at them as they head to the table, and Larry seems very impressed. Denise, I think she's aware enough, and I'm guessing she's probably been in a wheelchair probably for a long time, so she's probably used to having people like do things for her and all that kind of stuff. But we see here that Denise, she's aware of the situation and she's aware that she can take advantage of it.
Yeah, I don't think she's being like opportunistic or, you know, like being, yeah, I don't think she's taking advantage of it in any sort of, like in any way that's wrong. I think she's just, I don't know. I mean, she is taking advantage of it, but I don't think she's being scummy about it, if that makes sense. You know, she's just like, it's happening and I'm just going to embrace it, you know?
Yeah, and she's probably obviously had lots of experience, you know, with that sort of thing. Maybe, you know, when she first started going out, maybe, you know, people would treat her well and give her all free stuff. And she's like, oh, okay, cool, awesome.
Yeah, it's probably
yeah.
It's probably a case of, you know, she appreciates that she's like extra thought and consideration is being given to her and, you know, she's getting extra bits and pieces. But if that wasn't happening, I don't think she would expect it. You know, she's enjoying it.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, it doesn't seem entitled. It's just more like, well, this is happening, so I'm going to just enjoy it. But if it didn't happen, you know, I don't think she wouldn't feel like she's missing out.
No, and she wouldn't like, you know, become a Karen and start screaming at the hostess or anything.
No.
I'm disabled, you know, you got to give me a table. I don't think that would happen.
No, not at all. She doesn't seem like that sort of person at all.
And, you know, she enjoys fine culture. She likes Shiyun. So, yeah, she's a very refined person.
She is.
Likes fine dining, fine music, fine wine.
Yep.
What's not to like? They receive complimentary champagne courtesy of the house. Larry asks, is this normal for the restaurant? The waiter says, no, we don't do it often. Denise asks Larry what he wants to talk about because Larry originally was going to do this date to break up with Denise. He talks about his leg pain disappearing and rather than breaking up with her. And she goes, oh, very good. So yeah, Larry realizes, you know, being with someone who is disabled or handicapped, even you going along there as well, you can get your own perks as well. So Larry's like, I'm sticking to this for a little while.
Yeah, he's just taking advantage of the goodwill that people show her, because it's you know, spreading onto him.
It is, yeah. No, he's like, yeah, I think Denise will stick around for a little while. I get the feeling. At least till he's had enough of you know, over generosity.
Yeah.
The duo receive complimentary dessert courtesy of Ted Danson, who is at a nearby table. Ted comes over to say hello. Larry introduces Denise to him, and Larry points to Denise's wheelchair to Ted, and Ted notices and is extra nice to Denise. Ted recommends the pie that he bought Larry. Larry says he doesn't want it as he is not eating dessert. And the two begin arguing. The quarreling escalates. Larry doesn't want the dessert. Ted recommends the pie and insists on the waiter to put the pie on the table and insists on Larry to take a bite. And this is one of my other very subtle Seinfeld references.
Yeah.
Trying to force someone to take even one bite of the pie. And Larry's like, no, I don't want it.
Nope.
Whereas it was like in Seinfeld, a violent, you know, head shake, you know, to confirm that you don't want it. But now here, Ted's trying to make him eat the pie. Best pie he's ever had. Look, again, whether it was intentional or not, I have no idea. But yeah, very, 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 very minor Seinfeld reference that I picked up on.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But Ted and Larry, like, Ted's like, put the fucking pie on the table. Larry's like, put the fucking pie away. They begin cursing. Ted eventually gets upset. He walks off and Larry tells the waiter to get the pie out of his face. Before Ted goes, he gets very mad and he says that he heard that Rosie O'Donnell beat the crap out of him. As Larry explains his side of the story to Denise as Ted walks off, Larry is very angry and he's defending his honor by saying, you know, we were both on the ground and, you know, if I had a spare couple of minutes, I probably would have finished her off, you know. I probably would have killed her. So yeah, he's defending his honor, his manhood, if you will.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to protect his ego here.
Yeah, and Ted's become very snarky at that point, and he pulls out the Rosie O'Donnell card. Just, you know, to show how snarky he is. Later on, Larry and Denise are strolling down the street as the Fowlers greet them. Larry says, tells Denise that this is the couple who didn't invite them to the Chiyun recital. They apologize profusely and ask them to come to the recital. They both accept. They make a lighthearted joke about Denise's wheelchair, about having the best seat in the house, you know, making sure that she has the best seat in the house. But Jamie's saying, oh, you probably already have that, already. You know, it's very awkward, very cringy. They begin apologizing for what they said as Larry says that that wasn't funny, you know. To get back at the Fowlers, he tells them that they're ignorant. Yeah, it was just a very subtle dig for Larry to get back at the Fowlers, because even though what Larry did to the Fowlers and Kelsey was very ignorant and inappropriate, he kind of puts it back on them, saying, oh, you say that I'm inappropriate towards, you know, Chinese children? Well, you're inappropriate towards handicapped people. So you're just as bad as me. That's kind of his take.
Petty revenge.
Puts it back on them. Yeah, petty revenge, yeah. And the Fowlers, they seem like very kind people. I think they were just being, well, John describes it as they were being very overcompensating for what they were saying, and they were apologizing profusely.
Yeah.
But yeah, they seem like much nicer people than Larry. I think they're quite mild-mannered, and they're definitely not like that. I think they were just trying to be very polite to Denise.
Yeah, I think they were doing, it was coming from a good place.
It was, unlike Larry, who was coming from an ignorant place.
Exactly.
The next day, Jeff and Larry are sitting on the beach as they talk about sand. Jeff says he hates getting sand. You know, he gets sand everywhere, wherever he goes to the beach. Larry says the worst thing is getting sand is in his sneakers, as the sand stays there for years after it happens. I don't think years, Larry. Probably, you know, a few days. Or, you know, if you give it a really thorough clean, probably like an hour or two. But yeah, he reckons there's still sand in your shoes in a year, which is, never heard of that, but there you go.
I've had sand in my shoes for maybe weeks, but definitely not years.
Definitely not years, no. You're not cleaning them out properly.
No.
If you keep it in there for a year, for years. Susie comments on the gorgeous day as she walks up to them. She asks Jeff to walk with her. Jeff says no, he doesn't want to. Susie yells at him to do it. Get off your ass, we're going for a walk. It's romantic. They walk off as Susie asks Larry to watch over Sammy, who's by the water. Larry is playing a game on his phone as Sammy is drowning. Larry goes to her, but he drops his phone on his towel. He runs back to grab the same towel and put it on the chair. He goes back and forth a couple of times. The scene cuts to Jeff, who's holding Sammy, and he's walking her out of the water as Susie is yelling at Larry and is horrified. Susie says, you were supposed to look after Sammy, what happened? And Larry says his side of the story. She grabs his cell phone and throws it in the water, and Larry screams. Because we find out that was the only way, that the only method that he was able to contact Denise on, his cell phone. Her number was in the phone. God, the days before, like, syncing contacts on your Gmail account and stuff. Jeez, what a hard time it was. You have to, like, write down your cell phone number back in the late 2000s, or, you know, you had to make sure your phone was somehow backed up, or I don't know. Yeah. Jeez, they're pretty hard times. We've got so many ways these days in 2022 to back up phone numbers and, you know, get easier ways to get people's numbers if you lose them. But yeah, for Larry, it was a bridge too far.
Yeah, you don't have to go to any effort these days.
No, these days, yeah, you can just sync it with your Gmail or whatever, and exactly. All your contacts are there. Pretty good.
Mm.
No, Larry, you think Larry would have been smart enough to write it in an address book or, you know, something like that, but have it as a backup? But no, he didn't. He probably thought maybe Denise was going to be like, you know, one or two dates and that's it, until he realized that he was getting his what I call wheelchair perks. So he probably should have backed up her number just in case.
I think so, yeah. Written it down at least.
Yeah, he didn't get around to doing it, I don't think. But he should have. All the perks he would have got. Larry's at home. He's telling Leon that he lost all his contacts on his phone as he's setting up his new one. He says he can't contact Denise because of this, and he has her on his phone as Denise Handicap, hence the name of today's episode. Larry says he can't vanish like this. He can't just vanish off the face of the earth. He has to try and find Denise. They go for a drive. The scene cuts to them in the car trying to find Denise's house in her neighborhood. They spot another wheelchair-bound person. Larry, being ignorant again, thinks that maybe wheelchaired people know each other. Like, he says to Leon, if there was another brother living in the neighborhood, would you know him? And Leon's like, oh yeah, probably would, yeah. Is it right if I say brother? Larry, yeah, that's fine. You can say brother. It's like Larry, you know, thinking that all wheelchair people know each other, you know, in the same neighborhood. It's just, yeah. And trying to, like, affirm it to Leon. Because Leon at first is very apprehensive. He's like, I don't think that works, Larry. And then he puts that to him and he's like, oh, yeah, that might work. Yeah, sure. Go for it. I love how Leon just, he's like down for anything. Like, he's just like, yeah, fuck it. Just do it. See what happens. That's the way to live life sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Larry goes to the other lady on the street, and he asks if she knows a lady named Denise who's also in a wheelchair. The woman sarcastically says that, yeah, her and Stephen Hawking, you know, they all hang out because they're in a wheelchair. The woman says that she has to go. He asks what she is listening to in her headphones, and she says Chi Yun as Larry, you know, gets a face, and the scene cuts. The scene cuts to the recital. Larry arrives with the other woman, who is revealed to be named Wendy. She is introduced to John and Jamie, who are surprised to see another wheelchair-bound lady with Larry. He approaches Rosie O'Donnell and confronts her about the rumor that she spread. Rosie said it happened in a crowded restaurant with lots of witnesses, as they begin arguing about who would have kicked whose ass. And they also argue, you know, about paying for things. Rosie says that she'd, you know, next week she's going to take out a big yacht and she's going to invite Larry and she's going to pay for everyone. Larry retorts saying that he'll invite all of Rosie's family, fly them first class, put them up in a hotel and take them out to dinner. Kind of like one-upping each other in generosity.
Yeah, just total pettiness.
Total pettiness. It's very like rich people pettiness, right?
Yeah. I mean, if they want to get me involved in this, that's all right. If they want to take me out on a yacht or put me up in first class just to show each other, I'll put my hand up for that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, put me in a yacht or in a first class or in a hotel. Yeah. Well, I'd be happy with that. I'd be down for that. Rosie, Larry, if you're listening.
I don't really care who wins.
Help us out, will you?
I don't really care. Exactly. Yeah. As long as I get some sweet boat action.
Sweet boat action. Yeah. Get on the water. Have some fun.
Exactly.
Fun in the sun.
On someone else's dime.
That's right, yes, not ours. Larry and Rosie grab each other and they're about to wrestle once more before the Fowlers interrupt and bring everyone into the recital room. Jeff goes up to Larry and asks why Denise isn't with him. He explains what happened with his cell phone as he says that Wendy has already arrived, and Larry's like, holy shit. Larry wonders what he's going to do, and Jeff, looking very bemused, walks off and says, I have no idea. Good luck, buddy. He doesn't want to get involved. Wendy goes to Larry and says that they'll go in now. Larry says, are you sure? And she goes, yeah. Larry puts her in a nearby cupboard and shuts the door. Denise goes up to Larry and wonders where Larry went. Larry's new phone is ringing as he goes to pick it up and he drops it by mistake. It lands in Denise's lap. She sees the call ID as Wendy Wheelchair and answers the phone. As she hears banging in the nearby cupboard or closet, she goes to open the door for Wendy. She gets out and they both stare him down and they start yelling at him. I like when Denise says, who's this? And then Larry goes, Wendy Wheelchair. And Wendy says, who's this? And then she goes, Denise Handicap. And they're like, son of a bitch, you bastard.
Yeah. I like how it's just like Denise
like you
Handicap. Like, you know, Wendy Wheelchair is like kind of sounds, it's, you know, it's got a bit of like, what's the word? Wit to it, I guess, you know, because it's alliteration. Yeah. Whereas the other one's like Denise Handicap. You know.
Handicap. I know. And they're just both glaring at him. They're very, very angry.
What's that ringing?
Oh, I got a new BlackBerry.
Oh, a new one.
Yeah.
Don't you think you should turn it
sure.
off?
Sure, I better turn this off. So.
Oh. God. Wait. Wendy Wheelchair? Hello? What? You're in the closet? Hang on.
They begin to chase after him and they go through the recital room. The recital's going on. He runs up the stairs. They call him a coward for running up the stairs. He begins to apologize as he's halfway up the stairs. Rosie walks up to the girls and says, don't worry, ladies, I've got it from here. And she runs up the stairs to go to grab Larry. And it's implied just before the credits roll that she grabbed Larry and punched him a couple of times. You can hear like a couple of hits. And then Larry's like groaning after being hit. It's implied that that she got her just in time as the credits roll. And that's the end of the episode. Very funny one, mate. Denise Handicap. Really enjoyed it. 4.5 out of 5. Yeah?
Yeah, this one 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5, yeah. Very, very good. You know, even though there wasn't much Seinfeld reunion-related stuff, just like one throwaway line in the second scene of this episode. I really enjoyed it. Just felt like classic Curb, and I really liked Denise. I really like how level-headed she was. I mean, the writers could have made her like this neurotic person who takes advantage of everyone because of her disability and stuff, but, you know, they kept her very grounded, which I really appreciate. It's a nice yin to Larry's, you know, psychotic yang. So I really appreciate that. What are your thoughts on the episode?
I thought it was funny. I really like the physical comedy aspect. Larry just putting his foot in it the whole time, just being classically ignorant. It was pretty straightforward as well. It was mostly Larry. Like, there wasn't a lot of other people's storylines in the episode at all. Nothing really. And yeah, it was just a simple, straightforward. I feel like that this could have been a season 1, 2, or 3 episode pretty comfortably. It just felt a bit more, I don't know, a bit more simple, but in a good way.
If Cheryl wasn't like in the scene, you know,
yep.
In seasons 1 and 2. Yeah, I get you. Yeah, no, it's definitely like a classic Curb episode. Like, yep. Definitely, it would have fit anywhere up until where we've watched so far of Curb. I think could have fit in any season. I agree.
Yep.
100% agree. Yeah. No, it's awesome. A very, very good episode. Very enjoyed it a lot. And yeah, we're already halfway through season 7, would you believe, buddy? It's good. We got there so quickly.
Yeah. No, it's been a good one. I've really enjoyed the season.
Yeah, no, me too. So far, so good. Anyway, that was Curbcast. Thank you so much for listening. Really much appreciated. You can find us on any podcast service, Apple, Spotify, any of the independent ones. Be sure to tell your friends and family about us. And on your podcast service, if you feel like we're worthy of a 5-star review, please write it and give us 5 stars. It really helps us a lot with the algorithms on the podcast services. You know, when you people search Curber Enthusiasm, you know, we'll come up higher on lists and stuff. And yeah, we hope you enjoy future episodes of the podcast.
Indeed.
My name's Ivan.
And I'm Stephen.
And we'll catch you next week for episode 6 of season 7. And you take care of yourselves and each other. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is part of Mishmash Media, an independent podcast network. Follow us on social media at Mishmash Media AU or support us on Patreon. All those links are in the show notes.